Father, we want to thank you tonight, and we're standing on your word. Thank you for a great word tonight. And you are so good to us. You are merciful and kind. And so we invite the Holy Spirit, you come and teach us. We yield ourselves to you, whatever you're going to say to us. We open up our hearts to you, Lord. And we thank you, Lord. Help me to be a man of the word of God. Help me to teach your word accurately tonight. Help me to stay on target. Help me to be moving in the Spirit. Help me to not be ashamed of the word and preach boldly and not hold back anything and hide anything. But help us, Lord, all of us, to be who we are in your presence. So we acknowledge your wonderful presence here. Thank you in the meantime, before anything is done, for any miracle, anything that's happening. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Remember, after the service, you can turn on to Rhema. .tv, and you can go on to the live feed to Rhema. If you don't have that on your telephone, or you could just download the Rhema app and get on any program or watch any program, winter seminar, Bible seminar, any special programs, they're all on there. You can get on and watch Brother Hagin's old stuff on there, or his old radio broadcast, they're all on there. So you can do that. It'll be a great blessing to you, I promise you that. And also, you might want to download Keith Moore's as well, and you can get all kinds of teaching on there. And so you can do that and feed yourself, praise God. Amen? Thank God. Amen. Let's go ahead and look at the Word of God tonight. Let's go ahead and pray one more time. Okay, our topic tonight is God's faithfulness, and I've been studying on faithfulness for a number of months now, and I just got encouraged this afternoon in my office to spend the whole afternoon after everybody left and just study the Word of God and go over my notes. And so I had some other notes put together, and so I made new notes out of an old notes that I had before. So this is fresh off the this kind of smoking. So our title of the message is The Faithful, a Rare Breed. And text... we're going to look at here, Proverbs 31, 11 and 12, and let's go ahead and read from the Common English Bible, since there's a lot of English folks tonight. We'll go ahead and read out of that. Her husband entrusts her heart, his heart to her, and with her he will have all he needs. She brings him good and not trouble all the days of her life, Proverbs 31, 11, and 12, Common English Bible. As an introduction, I want to say that God's faithfulness is revealed in the 31st chapter in the moms and in the wives. We see in this chapter how God reveals to us, you know, His faithfulness, his goodness, his character. And in light of those scriptures, the revelation that's given to us, we need to relate that to our lives and apply it to our own lives. And a great wife displays the faithfulness of God. And a wonderful mother, a loving mother, a mother that cares and is loyal to the family, shows the character of God, the wonderful picture of God. And they will always do us good. God will always do us good. These two individuals, the wife and the mother, or the picture of the wife and mother, can be trusted. Why? Because they will not harm us. They will always do us good. And so they'll bring no harm, none at all. Faithfulness is just who God is. And he will bring his loving and tender care, and he will never harm us. The proposition tonight, or the thought that I want to bring over to you tonight, is the faithful are a rare breed of people. They're hard to really find a really, really faithful person. And I'll show you in the scripture what that means, and you might believe that you're faithful. And in the ways that we operate, we think, oh man, I'm faithful. I come every Wednesday night and I bring my tithes. But God shows us something a little bit different, extra, more than what we can determine. So it's a rare commodity, faithfulness. When something or someone or something is rare, it means it's hard to find. Like something you'll find a rare stone or, some mineral or something. It's hard to find. It also means it's precious and it's special. When something is rare, it means it's a really special thing you got there, and it's very precious because you can't just get that anywhere, anytime you want. So it's special, and the Bible says faithful people are that kind of people. They're rare, and it's a good find, a rare find. They are individuals you can always trust, always put confidence. They'll never, with an underline, with red ink, never do you harm. If you're that kind of person, you can jump up and start praising God right now. What does it mean? What is being faithful anyway? Well, being faithful is someone who can be trusted. They're always true and loyal no matter what happens in your life. They don't change their decisions about you because they might lose something. They don't change because of personal gain or benefit on their part. They're not afraid to stick with the decision they made. And just like God, they're faithful and always true and always consistent and always loyal to you no matter what will come between you. A faithful person is rare. People will trust you and love you as long as you're good to them. If you fail them, they will not. They'll do something different. They'll make a better decision because they based their faithfulness on what you did or what you didn't do. But God, how many times we failed him and we disappointed him, and yet he's still true to us. And that's what we compare to. When we look at this commodity, let's go ahead and read Proverbs 31, verse 10 to 28. And we're going to read a number of scriptures in a CEB version or a common English. A competent wife, how does one find her? Her value is far above pearls. Her husband entrusts her with his heart, and with her he will have all he needs. She brings him good and not trouble all the days of her life. She seeks out wool and flax, and she works joyfully with her hands. She is like a fleet of merchant ships bringing food from a distance. She gets up a while it is still night, providing food for her household, even for her female servants. She surveys a field and acquires it from her own resources. She plants vineyards and she works energetically. Her arms are powerful. She realizes that her trading is successful. She doesn't put her lamp at night. These lights are really bothering me up here. Can you shut these lights off? There's so much reflection I can't see my notes. We just disturbed my TV taping here. Where am I here? She doesn't fear for her household when it snows because they are all dressed with warm clothes. She makes bedspreads for herself and fine linen, purple and clothing. Her husband is known in the city gates when she sits in the elders of the land. She makes garments and sells them. She supplies sashes to her traders. Strength and honor are her clothing. She is confident about the future. Her mouth is full of wisdom. Kindly teaching is on her tongue. She is vigilant over the activities of her household. She doesn't eat food of laziness. Her children bless her, and her husband praises her. Many women act competently, but you suppress them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Let her share the results of her work, and let her deeds praise her in the city gates. That's from Proverbs. I'm going to put that back down here. So not everyone is faithful. Not everyone is faithful. Because the Bible says your idea of what faithfulness is different from what God defines what is being faithful is, what a faithful person is. You know, we can sin in so many ways and fail and miss the mark, even when we don't know. Because we're perfect at our level of development, but we've still been perfected. We're continuing to grow. Every time we grow, we think, I need to grow some more. And so being a faithful people will never turn from you. No matter what the case may be, you can put your faith in them. Faithful wives and husbands don't talk about each other to other people. You don't talk about your wife, about what she does or doesn't do or fails to do in your home or in your marriage to someone else. At least without their permission. They don't mention your faults to other people behind your back or your friend's back, or you don't tell people about your wife's problems to somebody else unless you have permission. And you don't tell secrets. They don't tell secrets about you. They don't reveal your sins or your failures or even broadcast them to other people in a public setting. Proverbs 20, verse 6 says, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but faithful man, who can find? King James. Who can find a faithful man, faithful woman? Proverbs says it's rare to find that faithful wife, faithful mom. Many proclaim his own loyalty and goodness, but who can find a faithful and trustworthy man, the Amplified Bible says. The Message Bible says, lots of people claim to be loyal and loving, but where on earth can you find one? The New Living says, many will say they're loyal friends, but who can find one who is truly reliable? The NET, New English says, many people profess their loyalty, but a faithful person, who can find? NIV says, a trusted wife, a rare find. A wife of noble character, who can find? She's worth far more than rubies, says the NIV of the Proverbs 31 and verse 10. Qualities of a faithful person, a wife of noble character, who can find? The Bible says here. She is worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good and not harm all the days of her life. NIV, Proverbs 31, 10 and 12. First of all, a faithful person can be trusted all the time. All the time. Not when everything's good, but even when you're disloyal, or when you're loyal but they're disloyal, or, you know, I mean, if someone is faithful to you, if you make mistakes, they'll still be faithful to you. They'll always do you good. They don't want to pay you back for something you did to them. You can trust them. You can turn your back. They're going to do something bad or say something bad about you. And they will never hurt you. They'll never hurt you. You can trust them. You can actually trust them. They won't ever, ever hurt you. No, not even. Huh? Romans 13 and verse 10. Let's go to Romans 13, verse 10. For some reason, why don't I have it on here? I don't know. Did I give it to you guys? I gave it to you. See? I didn't give it to myself. I'm not a faithful man. I just displayed okay. Where are we here? We are. Okay, let's just go here because I didn't put it on here. I did give my you some words. Romans chapter 10, I believe is what I said here, chapter 13, excuse me, in verse 10. Love works no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. The Amplified says, love does no wrong to one's neighbor. It never hurts anybody. Therefore, love meets all the requirements of the law. In other words, you know what the law is, right? The Ten Commandments? That's the law. Jesus said it's all summed up, the law, all the Ten Commandments are summed up in two things. Number one, you love God, and then love yourself. All the other commandments, every other commandment you can find is summed up in two things, love. And that commandment is what, you know, is required of all of us. This is the covenant of love, right? It's to love. We owe each other love. And part of that is being faithful to each other, to love each other. And so, notice, so love does no harm to people. If you're faithful, you will not harm people. I remember Brother Hagin used to give us, you know, his definition. He always used to tell us that. If I would never say something to another minister to make myself look good in front of that minister to make myself look good. Or making, if I say something or reveal something, I remember a minister not too long, many years ago, that actually took a number of things from me, you know, on a financial level, stole from me or stole from the ministry. And I never told anybody. Literally took something, credit card, and charged something and did this. And I approached them many times and said, you know, hey, listen, you know, you need to pay this back. And never paid it back. Said, oh, yeah, I'm going to pay it back. And but I didn't tell anybody. I'm telling you now because it's safe now. I have to tell, you know. But, you know, you can get charged for stealing, right? So you wouldn't tell, you wouldn't do that. So you take the hit and you know. Because you don't want to be the one that's going to cause their downfall. He said, what kind of a person are you? Well, it's not going to hurt anybody. It wasn't that much. You were going to fall over. We survived. But they have to deal with that themselves. So here, it's like somebody never paying you back something. They owe you some money or whatever. Look at 1 Corinthians 13 for a second. 1 Corinthians 13, and let's go to verse 5, I believe it is here. 1 Corinthians 13. I don't know why I didn't add it on my notes. I just have the notation of it there. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 5. It says here that love does not behave itself unseemingly, this King James, seeks not her own, not easily provoked, thinks no evil. It says that it's not conceited, arrogant, inflated with pride, it's not rude, unmannerly, does not act unbecomingly. God's love in us does not insist on its own rights or its own way, it's not self-seeking, it's not touchy or fretful or resentful, it takes no account of the evil done to it. Pays no attention to a suffered wrong. If you've been suffered wrong, you don't pay attention to it. You don't give it a lot of attention, even if you're a faithful person is going to be like that. How many of us go around, if somebody wrongs you, you'll be reminded of it, you'll tell somebody, and you know what, this guy, he harmed me one time. And that's what the Bible says. And a faithful person doesn't reveal other people's sins to someone else, or what they did, or what your wife did to you, or what your husband has done to you. And so we have to see what the Scripture says about this, and see it in light of what the Word of God. Now you have to look at that in light of the Scriptures that you know and understand in your heart. Because love, human love, can be resentful and it can be harmful to one's health. Human love, because only love back, right? Human love is only, you love me, I love you. You do me good, I'll do good to you. You lend me something, I'll lend back to you. But love, you just say, they owe you a lot, but you don't think about it ever again. They owe me, but you know, it's okay, praise God. God's the one who's going to pay me back, right? So God is, that's how God is. So let's look at David here. David did something. First of all, I did say what faithfulness is, and what it means, and that not everybody is faithful. Not everybody is faithful. Maybe sometimes, but not all the time. That's what we're talking about. So David showed great character in his love and faithfulness, and lived with integrity. This is why God trusted and promoted him and used him for service. God called him a man after my own heart. Acts chapter 13, 22, King James says, when he had removed him, he's talking about Saul, he raised up unto him David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony that he said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. Why did God say about him that he was a man after his own heart? Well, at the last phrase, he says, he's going to do all my will. He's going to follow through with God's will. Although David was abused by his master, his king, his king was abusive. You understand what he tried to do, try to kill him and herald his, you know, sword, try to, you know, didn't let him take his place because he's supposed to be the next king. And actually went after him and accused him of things he never did. He never betrayed his master. He never traded the king. Never went against him. Even though he did a lot of bad to him, he didn't come against him. And how much us? Coffee break. Let me tell you what he did to me, what my boss did. How he kept me after work and made me do extra work and have to clean up after all these guys in the kitchen. As they did all the work in the kitchen, they left the mess. I had to clean up after them all the time. So, David was being abusive, or at least Saul was being abusive to David. But he still served the king, kept a good heart. He didn't keep record of the wrongs, or even Saul, even though he didn't look at Saul in a crooked way, he looked at him at the way God saw him. There was a time he could have done him wrong. He could have hurt him. He could have killed him. Saul tried to even kill David, but he didn't retaliate by taking matters in his own hand. He allowed God to deal with that man as God would deal with anybody. And he knew that God would make the best decision for the situation, and he couldn't allow himself to take revenge. So when someone does us bad, we can't condemn him or do things and take matters in our own hand. We must allow God to bring things out in his own timing, in his own way. Good people will always do good things. Bad people will do bad things. Good people always have this principle. They always have a good character they'll always reflect the character that's in them. So, Saul was trying to hurt David. Here's 1 Samuel 24, 12 and 13. May the Lord judge between us. He tells his master, "May the Lord judge between us. Perhaps the Lord will punish you for what you are trying to do to me. But I will never harm you." As the old proverb says, he quotes the Proverbs as he's yelling out to from evil people come evil deeds. So you can be sure, I will never harm you. Because he's saying, I'm a good man. I'm faithful. I know you've done me wrong. I know you did this, but you know what? I don't care. I'm not going to harm you. Even when David cut off Saul's piece of his clothes, he felt bad that he even touches Saul's belongings. That's how bad he felt. That's how sensitive he was with God. His conscience hit him, and he began to hurt because his heart was after God. Here in 1 Samuel 24, chapter 1 to 7, New Living says, after Saul returned from fighting the Philistines, he was told that David had gone into the wilderness of Engedi. So Saul chose 3,000 elite troops from all Israel and went into search for David and his men near the rocks of the wild goats. At a place where the road passes some sheepfolds, Saul went into a cave to relieve himself. But as it happened, David and his men were hiding in the back of the very cave. "Now your opportunity," David's men whispered to him. "Here's your opportunity. Today the Lord is telling you, I will certainly put your enemy into your power and to do as you wish." So David crept forward and cut off a piece of the hem of Saul's robe. But David's conscience began bothering him. That's his spirit talking to him. Because he had cut off Saul's robe, and he said to his men, "The Lord forbid that I should do this to my Lord the king." He calls him my Lord the king. "I shouldn't attack the Lord's anointed, the anointed one, for the Lord himself has chosen him." So David restrained his men and did not kill Saul after Saul had left the cave and gone his way. 1 Samuel 24, 1-7, New Living. David instructed his men not to harm Saul. He wasn't influenced by his men's mind on the matter of retaliation or taking things in his own hand. He knew God had to deal with Saul, and he knew that God could take care of the king and the leader, and he did him no harm. He stayed faithful to what God wanted him to do. You know, how many times we want to take matters in our hand, we want to reveal, I want to tell somebody what this guy did over here, but God, you know, we see here, this is the word of God. You can do with it as you want to do it. But if it's ain't working for you, you know, if what's been happening in your life has affected your soul, you better have a good look at this. Trying to retaliate, try to bring somebody else's negative character or failures or mistakes or what they did or stole something. It's not your place to go and blab everything out to everybody else. I'm trying to look at everybody so that, you know, not just these guys over here, because I'm comfortable looking over here, see? Because my head is easy to be that way. But if I look over here, it takes me a little bit longer to stretch my neck over here, so I just go like this. So here we see 1 Samuel 26, 9 and 11. "No," David said, "don't kill him. For who can remain innocent after attacking the Lord's anointed one?" The guy was demon influenced, demon possessed, basically, because he had at least demon, on his mind and body. Like he was not totally demon possessed, but demon. How would you call that again? What is oppressed, influenced? Some of y'all might have that too, every once in a while. Like, you know, you just make some decisions. I mean, you know, one minute Peter's talking to the Lord, "I love you, Lord," and all that. And Jesus said to him, "Get away from me, Satan." Surely the Lord will strike Saul down someday. or he will die of old age or in battle. The Lord forbid that I should kill the one he has anointed. But take his spear and that jug of water beside his head, then let's get out of here. He wouldn't touch him. A man after his own heart. Faithful man. You know, how many times we want to reveal somebody else's character to somebody else? We go to somebody else. Let me tell you what they did over there, in that bunch over there. Let's go. Let me tell you how bad it was. We told a story about, our experiences in leadership, you know. We said there's a little boy, a little man, a grandfather and a little girl, and two people dropped in on this gas station, and the first one, the man says, what kind of town we're in? Looks like a tourist. The old man says, so what kind of town you're from? The man says, well, the town I'm from, and, you know, it's a horrible place. You know, people backstab each other, blah, blah, blah. And the old man says, well, that's how this town is. And they got in the car, drove away. And then a family came by, and then they asked that old man, what's this town like? He said, what's the town you're from? He said, oh, it's like family, leaving family. We're so sad to be leaving our town. It's so hard to leave that town. He said, that's what this town is like. That's exactly what this town is like. And they drove away. The little girl says to the grandfather, Grandpa, how come you told that guy that this is a horrible town and these other guys is a bad town? Grandfather says, well, anywhere you go, you take yourself. So faithfulness, you'll take yourself wherever. You can change partners, but you'll be the same person. You can change church, but you're the same person. Come on now. So you have to take a good look. Am I a faithful person? Right? So, you know, we all, you know, we can all look at this and say, you know what? Hey, I better take a good look at this. David respected the call on Saul's life. David respected the anointing on King Saul, even when he was not doing right before God. David refused to do the king harm, just like the scripture says, a faithful person will do you no harm. Will always be faithful. Even though Saul was demon-influenced and evil-affected, David did no harm to Saul and called him, even under the influence of demonic influences, he called him and was God's anointed. I ain't touching that person. He allowed God to judge him, and how many of us would do the same? Love and faithfulness, there's no evil. And so, you know, God doesn't want us to take revenge. He don't want you to take a revenge. If somebody hurt you 20 times, what did Jesus say to those people? You forgive 70 times 7. Because Peter said, Lord, how many times must I forgive? 7 times a day? He said, no, 70 times 7 a day. That's a lot of times. I got hope, Pastor Ken. Hebrews 10:30 says, it's God who takes revenge, not just us. It's not our duty to judge and correct people and try to straighten out their lives. Let God do that. You're not the Holy Spirit. You're not the Holy Spirit. You don't go around correcting people. Right? I know I'm trying not to look at some of you because you're like I'm just talking to you, reading your mail or something. But for we know, look at 10:30, it says, for we know the one who said, I will take revenge, I will pay them back. He also said, the Lord will judge his own people. I remember a story Brother Higgins said. He was at a conference and there's a bunch of pastors talking together, ministers, and they were talking about somebody else, another minister, and then they were all, you know how people talk about things? And so he said something that somebody else said. He was just saying, oh yeah, that's what the brother said. Yeah, he's, you know, this is what's going on in his life. And he got home that night and he was going to bed praying, get on his knees. And all of a sudden, he said, it's the middle of night, there's no lights on, the light shines as the noonday sun in the room. And a voice from heaven said to him, who are you to judge another man's servant? 3 times. Is that your servant or is it my servant? He said, look, I'll take care of my own service. I'll take care of my own men of God. It's not your responsibility. It's not your duty to go and judge another man. He said, he took it as a pretty good lesson that night, not to go and judge somebody else. And then he said, he told the Lord, he said, I didn't say that. The Lord says, the way you repeat it, or you repeated the same thing somebody else said, you're just as guilty as the next guy, repeating what somebody else said. Yeah, you didn't accuse him, but you said the same thing. Who can find a faithful man? Faithful woman. Woman's not out of it either, so. Never take revenge. Romans 12, 19 and 21. Dear friends, never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God. For the scripture says, I will take revenge, I will pay them back, says the Lord. Instead, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. Ooh, man, it's getting close now. If they're thirsty, give them something to drink. Buy them a Coke. Now, if somebody takes you out to lunch, you better look at them sideways. He said, you got anything against me? No. I love you. Give them something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals of shame on their heads. Don't let evil conquer you, but conquer evil by doing good. Faithful people always do you good. Faithful people always do you good. Even if you don't deserve it. You don't deserve it. You don't deserve the ministry. I heard people say this to me. You don't deserve the ministry. Look how bad you are. Look at your family. Look at this. Look at your wife. Look at this. Look what happened to you. Look how many mistakes you made. I said, I didn't call myself. I didn't want to be here in the first place. And I'd like to slap you if I could. And that's how you feel, but you don't do it. You can't do it because you're a minister of the gospel. But you think about it. And none of you ever thought that way. I know it. So don't let evil conquer you, but conquer evil by good. I mean, there's so many ways you could hurt somebody, right? You could just say, you could even make eyes at somebody. And if somebody's talking, you could make eyes at them and say, yeah, I agree. There's so many ways you could say yes and amen to somebody else's failures. Faithful people can always be trusted. You can always trust a faithful person. They have a good heart. They will never do you wrong. All the days you have a relationship with them, they allow God to deal with you concerning the matters that you have at hand. They'll place you in the hands of God. They'll leave it up to God. I remember somebody the other day, somebody told Pastor Hagin, brother so-and-so, how come these guys are living together in your church? Why are they? Brother Hagin, Pastor Hagin said, that's their business. They hear the same word in here as everybody else. It's not my prerogative to go and correct every person in my church. They hear the same word. It's not your business to go correcting each other around, I mean, sure, if you got a relationship with somebody, talk to each other. That's encouraged. But we don't go around correcting everybody, like what you're doing. Look what you're doing. You'll have no friends pretty quick. They might come to your house one time, but only one time. Who can find a virtuous woman, a capable wife? She's precious. That's a rare find. When somebody is really faithful, it's a rare find. And we need to aim to get there. Praise God. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus for the word of God. We thank you that we want to be that person, Lord. We want to be that person. We can say so many times, we need to correct ourselves. We need to see what you see, just like David, Lord God, in the life of David, in the life of the mom and the virtuous wife. Thank you, Lord God. We ask you to forgive us. Help us to be on our way to being that kind of person that can always be reliable and trusted and loyal no matter what. Thank you for the friendships we have here at Faith City Church and around our city, that we can be the kind of people that you've destined us to be the faithful people, to be the loyal people, the reliable and true, no matter what happens in our lives. So I give you praise and thanks, Lord, for all that's being done. In the name of Jesus, and everybody said amen. And amen. Praise God. All right. Thank you, Lord.